Welcome to the Nerds Talk Movies Podcast. I am your host today, Tristan Binns, and what if I told you that today we are here to talk about The Matrix Resurrections? Joining me, as always, is my usual host and good friend, Taylor. Taylor, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. Are you going to talk in that Yahya Abdul-Mateen impersonation of Lawrence Fishburne's Morpheus the entire time?
What if I told you that I might?
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't do it.
This is going
to
take 3 hours.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be talking about this movie any longer than we have to be. It's only because I'm, you know, wearing my little Morpheus glasses. You know, I'm sure we'll tweet it out. We'll tweet out an image with the link to this podcast. Yeah, but no, we are here today to talk about The Matrix New Year's Resolutions. Matrix Resurrections. We are back from our holiday break with this belated spoiler talk. What a one to start the year off with. You know, I hope this isn't,
you know,
I hope this isn't where we're going for the rest of this year.
You know, we ended the year with No Way Home.
We did. We ended with a certified banger.
Brandon Stevenson joined us for that episode.
He did.
And I thought we had an amazing conversation.
A spectacular conversation.
About that movie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not this movie.
It was longer than the movie itself.
It was,
I cannot imagine we're doing that.
Oh, God,
no. Matrix Resurrections.
I tell you what, if you tell me that's what we're trying to do today, I'm exiting this podcast right now. I'm not doing it. And I say that as someone who, well, I'm not going to get to how I feel about the movie yet. We'll save that. We'll save that for a bit. But yeah, so before we, you know, get into beating this dead horse, we got to talk about a few changes to the way we're doing spoiler talks, Taylor. Are you aware of these changes?
I think I'm the one who made these
changes. I don't know. I think I made all these single-handedly.
I think it was a joint effort, but I just, you know,
I think I did the lion's share of the work with these changes. So let me go ahead and roll these out for you and our listeners right now. I tell you what, Matrix Resurrections just has me feeling a little wonky today. But let's get into it. So with all of our previous spoiler talks, we tend to completely recap the movie and have a fairly structured show, and we're going to be changing that up in 2022. So starting with this episode right here, you heard it here first, folks. All our spoiler talks are going to be more of a free-flowing conversation. You can think of it like,
if you can't tell by our intro.
Yeah, if you can't tell. If my Morpheus impersonation didn't just, you know, tip you off, then that's where we're going this year. But you can think about it, you know, like when you're talking about a movie with your friends when you're leaving the theater. That's the sort of vibe we're going for. We'll probably still recap a lot of story beats and stuff, but it won't be our usual rundown, and hopefully it'll feel a bit more natural. We're also going to be doing things like taking notes and rambling on random details of the movie. So now we can get into it. Well, not now, because as always, we got to send out a final spoiler warning. There's a final spoiler warning to anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet. Now, you know, if you haven't seen The Matrix Resurrections and you have any desire to watch it, just stop, go watch it, and then come back for our dumb yet entertaining thoughts. But I'll be real honest, I can't say for certain that the movie would be any more entertaining than what we're about to do right now. Hot take, but we may bring a bit more joy to people just from a storytelling component than everything we saw in that film. So as part of our brand new tradition for this podcast, let's have a brief 5-second moment of awkward silence for those people who haven't seen the movie yet, so they can, you know, dip out and then come back. So starting now, 5 seconds. Okay, that was 5 seconds. I'm bad at math. I got an English degree, folks. So just pretend it was 5 seconds. You had your shot. Get out of here. All right. Taylor, let's start with you. What are your general thoughts on The Matrix Resurrections?
I'll tell you what, Tristan.
Tell me
I'm
what.
Pull a line out of your playbook here. I'll
go
tell
ahead.
You what.
Tell me something.
This movie, it's a movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
It definitely is. I think it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Okay.
And it probably is the best sequel to The Matrix. Now, keep in mind, it's been a while since I've seen The Matrix OG trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't fully, like, coming into this, I was like, should I rewatch the entire trilogy?
I did.
Turns out, no, I didn't need to, because The Matrix Resurrections just tells you and shows you.
I was about to say, you mean shows you?
That you need to know. Yeah, I didn't want to even say touch it. It literally just shows you in the background of the scene, like, hey, there's Lawrence Fishburne. Wait, why isn't Lawrence Fishburne in this fucking movie?
Fishburne. That's what hold I kept on, hold thinking on, hold every on. You're time saying Fishburne. It's Fishburne. Put respect on this man's name.
Fishburne. I apologize.
It's really you, not I.
Misspoke.
It's Perry but White.
I feel like this movie was... There's a lot of stuff I kind of liked, and we'll get into it. And surprisingly, one of my favorite parts, I know I just kind of made fun of the movie there for not using Lawrence Fishburne, but I think Yahya Abdul-Mateen II crushed it, and I can't wait to talk about that. Did he. There's some story beats I really liked, there's some moments I really liked, but overall, the entire time, I kind of felt like, this is enjoyable, but why? And we're going to get into why, I think, later on, but I guess it was just like an alright movie to me. It wasn't anything real special, and considering what The Matrix means for filmmaking, in my opinion, it's kind of a little sad.
It's definitely a letdown.
It just kind of feels like a cash grab.
Yeah.
And I know there was some passion, and a lot of actors came back, and director came back, and all that, and I don't want to make it seem like, oh, that's what I think it is, but there's just some things in this movie where it's like, all right, why, though?
Yeah, here's the thing, all right. I think that it was a cash grab. I think it was a cash grab on WB's part. And Lana Wachowski came back and was like, all right, you guys are going to make this movie with or without me.
Yes.
I would rather you make it with me.
Yes, that's where I'm kind of... The cash grabs come from WB. I'm not trying to go the talent involved and the director. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
If anything...
I know I've heard interviews, yeah. I've seen articles on it, and you can tell that a lot was put into the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying from purely WB's.
There was a lot in this movie. There was a lot, and simultaneously not a lot. It's interesting, this movie. First of all, I love The Matrix. Like, I think that was the first movie trilogy, like, that I watched all the way through. Like, I'm talking single digits. Like, I still have the same, you know, 3 DVD, you know, set that I had when I was little. Like, I loved The Matrix. Even when I was younger, I liked 2 and 3. I didn't have any real concept of what a good or bad movie was back then. I'm just like, oh my god, it's 4 more hours of The Matrix. Like, this is incredible. This is great stuff. They're wearing the sunglasses, and they got the jackets, and they're doing the kung fu. Like, this is sick. So, take everything I say with a grain of salt, because I, you know, unlike you, I did decide to go back and rewatch all 3 of them before watching this one. Obviously, like, I watched the first one all the time. It's my 9th favorite movie of all time. I have a list of my 50 favorite movies. It's top 10. It's a great movie. It's fantastic. 2 and 3 I hadn't seen in maybe, like, at least a decade. And I was like, is this... Will I still have a soft spot in my heart for these movies, or is it as dog shit as everybody says? I went back and watched them, and I'm like, you know what? I get why people don't like these. I'm having some fun. I'm having a good time. Like, yeah, I'm on my phone for a lot of it. But I'm still, like, when I'm tuning in, I still care about these characters. And I don't know how much of that is just from, you know, childhood nostalgia, watching these movies for the first time in 10 years. But that childhood nostalgia really came in handy watching The Matrix Resurrections, because, man, they lean on nostalgia so heavily in this movie. And a lot of it is, like, you know, a commentary on people's obsession with nostalgia, but it doesn't always feel like commentary. It feels like this is just what they're leaning on to get us through this 2.5 hour runtime, which is too long. We didn't need 2.5 hours. The other Matrix movies are literally just around 2 hours. Like, we could have shaved off 27 minutes of this and called it a day, and no one would have had to suffer any longer than they did watching this. This movie is disappointing for a lot of reasons. I know I myself and other people were hopeful that it could have been something closer to the original Matrix than The Matrix Reloaded or Matrix Revolutions, and I say that as someone who enjoyed 2 and 3. We were not expecting it to be just as much of a middle finger to WB as it was. I know a lot of people were in the camp of like, oh, it's probably still going to be bad, but I don't think anyone expected it to be as blatantly, like, self-aware in some regards as it was, which
all right. Kind of... Can I get the elephant out of the room?
Yeah, get the elephant out of the room.
Can we talk
get
about
out,
this,
get this, elephant.
This part of the movie?
Let's get it.
Because this is the part of the movie I despised.
Mm-hmm. Which part?
The WB stuff and a video game developer. Honestly,
that was some of my favorite stuff in the movie.
The stuff I really just, it's the tongue in cheek, like, oh, they're going to make another one with or without us. Ha ha ha. WB's going to do it. And it's the kind of stuff, it reminded me like of Space Jam 2,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, look at us. We're being tongue in cheek about it. But you're really just advertising WB more and more. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's also a little bit, and this is just me being honest, this is probably a little bit of bias because over the years, just me personally, I'm starting to lose a lot of faith in WB ever doing anything great.
Well, that's valid.
From DC to the Matrix franchise. We talked about Space Jam.
We talked about Space Jam. I haven't watched them, but a lot of people aren't crazy about the Fantastic Beasts movies, you know, for reasons outside of J.K. Rowling being who she is.
I think this movie is trying to set up a sequel, possibly, maybe. I know, I think they said they don't have any plans.
See,
I think.
I got the vibe that, in parts of it, I got the vibe that Lana Wachowski's like, all right, I'm shutting the door on this. We're not doing another Matrix. Like,
well, because of the way that they both flew off.
Yeah. I can see that.
Kind of seemed like, hey, we can continue this on. And I was like, I'm good. I'm really good on this.
He's like, I don't know how much...
The OG trilogy really closed the door. And like you said, again, it does feel like WB walked back in and said, hey, let's do another one of these. And it's just that kind of stuff got me. Where I was like, oh, what is the Matrix, man?
What is it?
And that scene got... And they're like, it's the bullet time, and it's all about capitalism and something about that. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're making fun of everybody who's looking to find the meaning in the Matrix movies, which people did and thought it was fantastic for that reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was a little too meta, and I hate using that word now because everybody loves to use that word, including Facebook.
The metaverse. Taylor.
Yes, the metaverse. Which we will all be living in
the
next 25 years. Boy, Matrix.
We will be in the Matrix.
And we're not already in it.
I don't know that I have the capacity to learn Kung Fu, I'll be honest with you. I do already have the sunglasses for it, so I have that going in my favor.
Well, if we watch enough Karate Kid and Cobra Kai...
You know what? You may be onto something. You may be onto something. All right, I'll keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. But yeah, this movie, man. And I'm sounding more negative about it just off the bat than...
No, we'll have some positive stuff to say. We will. There's a lot of stuff I like.
I do have a lot of positive stuff to say. I'm hotter on it than a lot of people online were. And I think that's because...
Yeah, I feel like that's... It did not do well, I believe, at the box office.
No, it did not. Which, to be fair, it had a lot of factors going against it. Aside from the HBO Max release. Like, yes, it's The Matrix and it's iconic. But the last two movies are widely regarded as not good. So people were probably like, I don't know about this, even if they were coming back out of nostalgia and curiosity. Also, it released the week after Spider-Man No Way Home, like, which is now the 8th highest grossing movie of all time, and that's during a pandemic.
That used nostalgia
in a very effective way, and not just a commentary.
And
but
probably one of the best ways I've seen nostalgia be used.
I would say so. In a movie. I would say so, yeah.
Without getting into any spoilers, because I've still seen people post spoilers online. I'm still like,
I mean, it's been almost a month, y'all. Like, if you ain't seen the biggest movie in the world, well, you know what? Never mind. I take that back. I forgot. We're in a pandemic. Not everyone go to the theater. That being said, if you're listening to this show, you probably listened to our Spider-Man spoiler talk. So I feel like our listeners would have seen Spider-Man by now, probably.
Probably so, right? But we'll be careful. Going back to, do you have anything else to say about the WB? The meta references. You said you liked.
I actually liked it. Yeah.
Aspect?
No, for the first. I'm trying to think. When did I think, all right, this is starting to take a turn, because the whole he's a video game developer thing, The Matrix was a game, like all his commentary. I was really intrigued by that. I found it really entertaining. I didn't like Jonathan Groff as the new Agent Smith. I was like, this is weird. He could just not be Smith. He could be somebody else. They brought back the Merovingian for 5 seconds. Why couldn't they have just had him be the Merovingian or something? Then that way he'd finally be controlling Neo like he always wanted to in Reloaded and Revolutions. But that's, you know, we're not playing revisionist history here. But I thought it was a really interesting concept.
Revisionist History is another show. It's called Clash of Stash.
It's called Clash of Stash, which, you know, we'll get into that. We'll tease that later in the show. But I liked the commentary. It was very on the nose. Like, I'm not saying it was particularly clever. I'm not like, oh, wow, this is really revolutionary change of the game. But it was like, oh, okay. Like, I see what you're going for here. Like, this is an interesting lens through which to look at the story of the Matrix and even to see how these memories affect Neo so powerfully, even though he no longer thinks they're real.
Yeah, those scenes I did like, yeah. Where the therapist, analyst, Neil Patrick mm-hmm. Harris's character is pretty much controlling Neo.
Yeah, he's gaslighting the shit out of
that kind. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's all in your mind. They're just so scared of this guy, yeah. Right?
Like, he's so dangerous that they have to keep him in a pen.
But yeah, I really like that aspect of it. I think it was more so all the little jokes and
The jokes did. It's like, all right,
I remember reading something about, like, wow, I didn't expect the Matrix sequel to, like, some actors or forgot who it was saying, like, oh, there's a lot more comedy in
there
this
was one. A bit and more.
As soon as I read that, I was like,
yeah,
okay.
It was a bit more comedic than traditional Matrix.
A lot of movies that do this and have this sequel, like, years later, they try to do that kind of stuff, and it always falls flat.
Yeah.
A lot of it kind of fell flat for me personally. So, there was a good one, though. When Neo was trying to, like, he was trying to fly at the end.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that's not going to happen.
And he just, that one really got me. I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, a lot
of the early stuff kind of just fell flat.
A lot of Keanu's line delivery unintentionally funny, but it's also like, this is Keanu, so you're here for it. Which, let me go ahead and say right off the bat, no matter how much shit I'm talking about this movie, anytime Keanu Reeves is on screen and he's doing something, I'm 100% on board. I'm down. Even if everything doesn't make sense, doesn't make sense based on the rules that they established in previous films, I'm like, you know what? It's Keanu. It's Neo. Like, I'm happy for him. It's great. Anytime Carrie Ann Moss is on screen, she fucking crushes it, dude. Like, yes, I never had any doubt.
I think that's a problem with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, Keanu, like, Neo's the main character. I'm not trying to say he's not. I'm not trying to say that Trinity is not a main focus.
She is. That's the thing. She's a focus, but she's barely a character.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It feels like she's not an active character in this story, and Neo isn't either.
Yeah.
Both of them react to everything, from Bugs and Morpheus.
Bugs
and,
is great, too, by the way.
Yes.
Jessica Henwick's fantastic.
We'll get into performances here in a minute, because I want to talk about Agent Smith and Morpheus and whether or not, like, those characters really needed to be there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the main two, Trinity and Neo, I really liked their characters, but I kind of just felt like they were there. Like, the Matrix, to me, and I guess we can kind of get into action sequences, too.
Subpar in this movie.
I thought they were very subpar, like, compared to previous ones. I know that Keanu Reeves is very busy, and it's very demanding, some of the action movies he does. Cough, cough, John Wick. Well,
yeah.
So, I can understand it, but at the same time, it kind of felt like he was just doing a force push
the
entire movie.
And that's the thing. When they had him do the fight scenes, Keanu still got it. We're not saying any of these people, Carrie Ann Moss still got it. Everyone still has it when they're given fight choreography. The problem is, the fight choreography is not on the level of the previous Matrix films. Like, sure, for a generic action movie, it's fine. Like, it's serviceable.
But the Matrix isn't.
But
that.
The Matrix, exactly.
And this is
the
even
Matrix
somebody. This is somebody who's not a huge Matrix fan.
Oh man!
Like, but I know the what it means for filmmaking.
Yeah,
going
like
forward.
It's like
how it impacted it.
Like,
and to know that, and then you go that this sequel is. It's not. This movie's not terrible.
It's not
I'm not
terrible.
Trying to be negative the entire time. It's just for what the first Matrix movie is, and even if you think the sequels aren't very good. Even with just how great that first movie is and how influential, this sequel just being fine, it just feels like it's disappointing.
Yeah, and it's
like,
just...
That's the best way I can put it.
It's disappointing because, sure, with 2 and 3, it's like, alright, those are what they are. But, not necessarily in defense of those movies, rather, in explanation of those movies. Those movies were kind of made in a vacuum, you know? Like, sure, they were made after everyone loves the first Matrix. But then they filmed 2 and 3 back to back, like without any sort of real feedback. So you can't
react.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't react to the audience, like, you know, to fix 3 after 2. Like,
they can't react to it like Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss's characters react throughout exactly. The entire movie.
They may as well they just have those characters set up a YouTube Reacts channel, because it seems like that's a lot of what this movie was. But, you know, while Reloaded and Revolutions were made in that vacuum where it's like, okay, we just have to put all this out right now because we don't know how long this Matrix type is going to last. Like, this movie had almost 20 years in the pot. That they're just like, all right, we learned from our mistakes with 2 and 3. Now we can take it in a direction for Resurrections that people actually like. And even, you know, ignoring that, all right, we learned from 2 and 3. Like, they've seen how filmmaking has changed. You know, and yet they're still making a lot of the same mistakes that they made in 2 and 3, where they don't really explain how shit works, and they focus on things that are not as interesting as the things they tease and then just brush over. So it's like, what? Like, there was a robot civil war? There was a machine civil war? We're not going to really get into that at all? We're going to have one sequence?
That's the thing that really got me, though, is...
Like, that would have been a whole Matrix
sequences
movie.
Are subpar, right?
Yeah.
And then they're talking about later in this movie, like, oh, there was this civil war between the machines, and I'm like, and this, like, is what? So much more interesting than... It kind of just feels like a random rescue mission.
Yeah, it's like they just throw it out there.
Because it's Neo trying to save Trinity, but it feels so low stakes. I guess, yeah. To me, compared to what I think this movie, if you're going to have a sequel 20 years later, having that machine civil war sounds a lot cooler.
It does sound a lot cooler.
What actually happened. Which, here.
And that's my thing. Like, I agree. The saving Trinity thing does seem lower stakes, especially compared to the machine civil war. And I'm not saying that I want the machine civil war instead of saving Trinity, because, I mean, at least for me, the whole, like, love story angle of it, of like, oh, they need each other. Like, I bought that as having suitable stakes for me personally, and that is probably just because I have so much nostalgia tied up in these films that, like, they were always one of my favorite on-screen couples when I was little, so I'm like, oh, just have them back together. Like, they have that connection. I need that. But the way they went about it did feel low stakes in the sense that it's like, they're not really explaining how they're going to go get her. Because in the beginning, I mean, they explain it, but, like, in the beginning of the movie, when he's like, oh, we have to go back to get Trinity, they're like, oh, well, that was our one shot to get you, man. Like, it's really hard to get in there. And then they just quickly explain away how they're doing all this, and it seems pretty easy to get in there. So it's like, what are the stakes here? Like, it's confusing. Is it hard to get in here? Or is it the easiest thing in the world? Because literally, you have Jessica Henwick just flying on a robot in there, yeah. Like,
the
just riding on its back.
The stakes to it was all in the Matrix, and I feel like that's where it really falters a little bit in its finale. And plus, well, I guess we can talk about the Swarm later, but that kind of stuff was just like, oh, this is a little generic to me.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of came across as, like, zombies. More than anything.
When they were in, like, Horde mode or Swarm mode, whatever,
yeah,
it was called.
Yeah, Swarm mode. Do you have anything else to add about the action sequences, the basics? I'm sure we can talk about... There was one really good action sequence with Neo and Smith whenever they're fighting... I forgot where they were at.
Like, in the...
But it was their first big confrontation. It wasn't a warehouse
or whatever, but, like...
Yeah.
Whatever
that abandoned
place was. Right
before he goes to see Trinity and the big reveal with Neil Patrick Harris's character.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good fight scene. It unfortunately ends with a force push.
That was a waste. What a waste. What a waste of the Merovingian. Like, come on. I haven't seen that man act in anything since Catwoman. We're going to bring him out for this? Like, he gets 5 seconds saying weird shit and cursing in French. And he looked like the train man from Matrix Revolution. Do you remember that guy? You remember the train man?
I do not.
You don't remember the train man? Oh, man.
It's
tell you
been
what.
A while, man.
Another reference for you, and I heard someone else say this on the Kind of Funny Reactions to this. He looks like Robin Williams from Jumanji. And I'm like, that's very accurate. Like, he looks fresh out of the board game. He looked rough.
He does.
And it was a waste of the character. And he could have been like, ugh, they should... Here's the thing. Jonathan Groff, great actor, talented, handsome. You know, he can act. Did not sell me as Agent Smith.
Yep. Okay,
so
let's get into it.
That's what I'm saying. Right. We could have not had him as Smith. We could have just had the Merovingian being the boss. Like, I'm on my I'm on my Merovingian agenda. I like that character. And he just felt wasted.
So let's get into Agent
Let's get into Agent Smith. Mr. Anderson.
I kind of felt like they could have just done... They just threw away Agent Smith as a character in this movie. We could have shaved off about 20, 30 minutes. Could have. I felt like the movie would have been better for that reason. I don't know why they felt the need to bring Smith back.
Well, they were going to bring Hugo Weaving back, but then there was some scheduling thing. Like, he was supposed to come back, but it just didn't work out. Which at that point, it's like, all right, scrap the character.
With Yahya Abdul-Mateen, he did a phenomenal job.
He was great. He was awesome.
As Morpheus.
He was cool as shit.
But again, it's one of those things that's like, I understood. Honestly, I thought that was done a lot better than what I was expecting.
Oh, same.
Explaining why he was younger, why he looked different. But I thought that was a lot better, making him a program. There was a lot of scenes where just Mateen, he captured that cool fact.
He had the swampness
that Fishburne had.
Yeah.
Yes, as Morpheus. And Fishburne just has in a lot of movies, like John Wick.
Oh man. Even as the Bowery King.
Get this man a gun.
Someone then that
like just the dude just oozes that charisma.
He's got it.
And I thought Mateen captured that so well. And Groff, I don't think Groff's terrible. It's just that Hugo Weaving is Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, exactly. He's Hugo Weaving.
There's something that's just unique about that I don't think Groff could capture. I'm not sure people really could.
I was about to say, I don't know off the top of my head who can. Like, he is...
So,
I mean, this man played, aside from Agent Smith, he was Lord Elrond. He was the Red Skull. Like, he's Megatron. Like, dude is known for just being larger than life in his roles. So having anyone
now,
try
Ross
to live up to that...
Now, Ross Marquand did a fantastic job impersonating...
He did do a fantastic job
the voice of Red Skull.
Which, he did a great job with the voice, but also, like, you're wearing 75 pounds of red makeup, so it's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's... That seems like the easiest role to replace Hugo Weaving in, because you don't see his face, so it's... It really just comes down to doing a badass impersonation. Whereas with Jonathan Groff...
The Mr. Anderson was the war... I think that's the one that, like, really took me out of it.
Yeah.
Where he, like, wakes up...
He's like, Mr. Anderson! It's like, alright, that's not...
It doesn't have that, like, gravitas to it.
It's like, say it with your chest, Groff. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I need some bass in there. Just Mr. Anderson. Like, come on.
There's some gruff to it, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
I want some edge.
And I don't think Groff really had
Groff
it.
Groff wouldn't gruff.
In terms of other performances, I thought the returning actors from Keanu Reeves, Carrion Moss, Jada Pinkett Smith, I thought they all did.
Stop
all
right there. Jada Pinkett Smith. Can we take a second and talk about her shuffling around for 40 minutes of this movie?
That's great.
Just is like, wow. Like, Jada Pinkett Smith is a treasure, you know? She's a great actress, very talented, just awesome. Could not buy her as an old woman. The makeup was good, but just as someone who knows in the year 2022 that Jada Pinkett Smith is still fully mobile, watching her like just hunch over and very clearly be acting like an old woman, it took me out of it for a second, I'll be honest. When she's like, oh, walking around like, help me up. It's like, Jada, you could stand up. Come on. Like, I know you're supposed to be 80 or whatever, but I'm not buying this. It gave me a similar feeling to, and I don't know how many of our listeners will get this. I don't know how much you will. Did you watch the series finale of Supernatural?
I did not.
I didn't either, but I saw a clip of it on YouTube the other day. And... Jared Padalecki's character ages, and they just put him in the worst wig possible, and just have him like kind of stick his chin out and give him a slight hunch, and then put him in a sweater vest. Like, this had the same vibe where it's like, okay, like this person is like, she could still walk around. Why are you doing this to her? I don't buy it at all.
The harken back to what she was. Whenever she's on screen and she's telling Neo about, like, what happened in between, because it's been 60 years.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's just telling this awesome story that I've never seen machines fighting machines.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that sounds really cool.
I know, it really does.
Like, can I get, like,
so cool.
Even a revival of the Animatrix, like,
and
with that?
And then they go to start talking about strawberries, and I'm like, cool. I can see the point to tell me this, but can we go back to the machines?
Yeah, so let's take it back to the machines. The strawberry concept, we got time for that later. That's very interesting. I do want to touch on that Matrix Resurrections, and this is me talking the movie. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, strawberries, very cool, but also Machine Civil War? Like, we give it a two-shot sequence from Jada's perspective, and that's it. That's all we're doing. No? Okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep watching Jada, like, find her walker. Like, all right, I mean, that's good. I will say, I did like them bringing her back. I liked her role in the story. I thought, despite, you know, what they have her doing, I thought she did a great job with it. And I liked those few moments of camaraderie with her and Neo, you know, when she's like, I never believed in, you know, the prophecy. He's like, I didn't either. And it's like, it calls back to in Matrix Revolutions, which is like, I don't believe in the one, but I believe in you. It's like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is dope. And she's still believing him, even when she's like throwing his ass in quote unquote prison. It's just, it was good. But her being old was just, it took me out of it. I'll be honest. Carrie Ann Moss is great, though. She was fantastic. Let's talk about Carrie Ann Moss for a second, because I feel like we're not doing her enough justice.
I do, before we move on to Carrie Ann Moss as well, I do like when she was telling Neo, like, yes, they voted, after everything happened, they voted Morpheus in unanimously as leader.
I was like, hell yeah, they did.
And then just underneath her breath, he loved every
like,
single
I'm sure he did.
I was like, yep, that sounds about right.
But he gets to stand on that big rock in the sweaty little rave cave. It just comes to go, machines.
Tony Stark energy.
Oh man. Oh god. See, now I'm annoyed that we're definitely not going to get any spinoffs or sequels from this because it's doing so poorly. Like, I would have liked to have seen an anime of just what's Morpheus up to, lead the humans, you know? Because he had to get in some shenanigans. Like, sure, yeah, we followed Morpheus' story in The Matrix Online, but that's clearly no longer canon, so that's not how he got killed anymore. So, like, what's the canon? What's the canon to the Matrix universe now? I want to know, Taylor.
So, Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann Moss. Oh, as soon as she shows up and she, like, shakes Neo's hand, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is back. I'm right back to being 9 years old, being like, oh my god, Neo and Trinity are so great. This is awesome for me. And then, oh my god, the best part, well, I'll say my second favorite part of the movie, when Chad, her husband, who, are you familiar with Chad? Do you know who this Chad is? Aside from it just
being... I believe it's the director of John
Wick. It is the director of John Wick, Chad Stahelski. But you know why he's also in this? Because
he is the... Wasn't he the stunt double?
He was,
as well,
exactly. He was Keanu Reeves' stunt double for the first Matrix movie. So it's like, ah. And also, it's just, you know, funny, like, oh, he's the Chad, you know, with the woman. So that's a fun... It's a fun little bit of meta-ness. Yeah. But when he's like, Tiffany, we gotta go, our daughter got hit by a fucking bus, or whatever, like, the issue was.
It's like, Matrix really trying hard on
this
one.
They said she got hit by a bus, but then they said it was just her arm that was broken? So I'm like, alright, how big was this bus? It's like, how fast was it going? You don't just say your little girl got hit by a bus, and then followed up with, oh, she'll be fine. But, when he's like, Tiffany, we gotta go. And she's like, I wish you'd stop fucking calling me that. My name is Trinity. Now get your hand off me. It's like, oh, fucking. She just beats the fuck out of him. And you're like, oh, man, she still got it. She, like, starts fighting all the cops. And she still does that move where she, like, leans forward and does, like, the kick, like, backwards. But, like,
the part I really liked up to was with, they had bugs, like, plugging in.
That was weird. It was I didn't
and
quite get that.
And then it was, like, splicing. Like,
it was a cool,
like,
effect.
Trinity was getting spliced or something like that. It was such a cool
It was
effect.
A cool effect.
It reminded me a little bit of Ant-Man, too, with...
oh, when he's, like, shrinking and whatnot, and then growing? Oh, Ghost.
Ghost. Ghost, yeah, yeah. Yes. It kind of reminded me of that Ghost effect, where just being ripped apart. It was really cool.
I didn't understand it. I didn't need to understand it, because it looked cool. Which I think a lot of the movie, like, tries to rely on that. Too bad a lot of the special effects are not where they should be 20 years later. But no, Carrie Ann Moss is great. How do you feel? Let's just go ahead and get into another elephant room. How do you feel about Trinity getting these Neo powers and being the one as well?
Look, I think it's somewhat, like, I think the analyst tries to put that plot point in the movie here when he's telling Neo, like, when you both are together. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And that's like the they are the one kind of deal. like they're the spark and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But it did come across as like, oh, she has the power. Oh, okay. That felt like it came out of nowhere.
I
don't mind it at all. It's just one of those things that just, it felt like the movie wanted a, hey, look, it's the same but different kind of thing. And that's what they did. And like, I don't want to come across as like, oh, so Trinity can't have the, no, yes, of course she can have the powers. I never really liked the one kind of thing anyways.
Yeah.
But it just really came out of left field.
For me, and personally. And I say this as someone who loved her having the powers, and I was like, oh shit, Trinity can do it now. It did feel like it came a little bit out of nowhere. I wasn't complaining because I liked it, but I'm like, I'm not quite sure that this was set up enough to justify this. Like, I'm justifying it just internally because I like this character is one of my favorites. So yeah, sure, let her fly. But what's the reasoning for this? Like, yes, you know, they're dangerous when they're together. Like, their connection is a threat to the Matrix, but that never really...
Yeah, I didn't think that was a good enough reason.
It was a good enough reason, but when he was explaining it, it never fully translated to the idea of like, oh, like, yes, their connection is special, but that means she also has the power too. Because when he was talking about, oh, your connection, it kind of harkened back to the conversation that Neo has with the architect in Matrix Reloaded, where he's like, oh, you know, in the previous versions of the one, like, you were all given just a general love for your fellow humans, whereas for some reason your love has manifested very specifically just to her. So it's like, oh, okay, like, that's what the architect was talking about, you know, 20 years ago. Yeah, they had this special connection that makes them dangerous, like, she's the one who believed in him, so it's all good. Then she starts flying, I'm like, all right, didn't know that's what you were setting up, not mad at it.
You know, the biggest problem I have with it is kind of what we were talking about before with both main characters.
Mm-hmm.
That Neo and Trinity, the main two characters of the entire trilogy, and this movie, feel like just reactionary.
They're just reactionary.
To where Bugs and Morpheus and all these other... Smith does more active stuff in this movie than Trinity and Neo.
Sure.
So it just really comes across as like unearned to me in the end. Like, them even having the epic moments in the climax of the movie, like, I was just like, okay, this is the end of the movie, the big action sequence.
Yeah, like,
I didn't feel this big, like, sense of, oh, they gotta get out. And I kind of thought, like, oh, they're just gonna kill them off here at the end and really close the book.
Yeah, like, in terms of them being reactionary, like, I agree. I think Trinity suffers from it worse, where she is... largely, she's a plot device in Neo's story, but then it's what you're saying where Neo seems to be a plot device in kind of everyone else's story. Like, it's like a little Russian doll of plot devices where it's like, yeah, they are very reactionary. Like, not a lot of it seems to be Neo's, like, choice.
We're seeing the movie through Neo's eyes because Neo hasn't, like, been in the quote-unquote real world for 60 years. So we have to hear through him and the characters he meets, oh, here's what happened since you've been gone. Oh, here's what happened to Trinity. Here's what happened to you after the events of the third movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a bunch of that.
It's a bunch of that.
And there's no real way around it to me, so I don't know really what I expect.
Yeah.
But I think it's because Trinity is also like that.
Yeah.
Is the reason why it's so abundantly...
It's noticeable.
I guess noticeable.
It's noticeable. And I will say, though, like, before I forget, like, yes, they are plot devices, and it's what you're saying, like, because we are seeing it through his eyes, he doesn't, you know, get the opportunity to do a lot outside of him choosing to go save Trinity, which is like, all right, this is his whole motivation, which, honestly, that's totally in character, like, that's all we need. I will say, I do love the line, like, before they go on a little rescue mission, when I can't remember her name. She's like, oh, Trinity is, like, the reason why I'm here, but, like, what if she's not Trinity anymore? And Neo talks about, like, I never believed in the prophecy, like, I never believed in the one, but, you know, she always believed in me, so now it's my turn to believe in her. Like, that line, it's like, God damn it. Like, there's a lot of shitty dialogue in this movie, That is not an example.
There's a lot of really good gems, though.
There's some gems. Really, and this is,
that's
this
the thing
is
where it's like, I know at the beginning, I think we kind of felt like we're indifferent. But I think through us talking about it as well, like, there are gems in this movie. That's like, there's something there that a few things move around, and we got a really good sequel on our hands.
Yeah.
It's still fine. I think this is, when we get to our final ratings, it's still borderline good. It's not terrible. It's not bad. But it's just, I think it could have been a lot better, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense.
We didn't talk about it in our performances, by the way. You mentioned it earlier. Bugs. I thought Bugs was a fantastic new character. I thought Jessica Henwick did a great job as this new character as well. What else did you, any other performances that stuck out to you? Neil Patrick Harris.
He was great.
I thought did phenomenal. I want to actually point out a scene with him in it right after we're done with this.
Well, you're,
so anybody else stuck out to you?
Don't think anyone else. I mean, Priyanka Chopra as Sati. I was like, oh, okay. That's very mm-hmm. obvious. And she kind of came out of nowhere and her character isn't making sense. But all right, that's fine.
I like how, too, that every time a character shows up, it's like, hey, this is a character from another movie. Somehow they managed to show a flashback.
Yeah.
It both was like refreshing because I'm somebody who did not see the first three movies again. But at the same time, I think they might have overplayed it a little bit.
They definitely overplayed
it. Especially in the background showing like the, I think Morpheus and Neo meeting again. I was like, I didn't need to see that again. Like, everybody gets that.
Yeah.
But there was one scene when right after the big Agent Smith Neo fight, and then Neo goes to try to save Trinity, and it's the big reveal of Neil Patrick Harris, he's the one controlling it all. I thought this scene was the best part of the movie, where he's like, yeah, the previous architect, he didn't like humans, he despised it, and that was his problem. I understand what you people are. And I thought this is probably the closest we're going to get to getting Neil Patrick Harris playing basically a comic book villain.
He would have been such
and
a good
I
rhythm.
Thought he crushed it. He would have. I thought he did a great job here. The part where he's using bullet time, I thought that was a... Of all the meta stuff in this movie, I thought that was one of the best. That the thing that the film has been applauded for, one of the most influential parts of it, bullet time, is being used against Neo in this movie. And that's part where the bullet's coming and it gets so close to her. Like, that did have me on the edge of my seat. Like, oh shit, what's gonna happen here? So, what did you think of this?
Are we talking about the sequence where he first uses bullet time against him and he's like, oh yeah, well...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the big reveal
gotcha.
When he goes
gotcha.
Into the big monologue.
For a second, I thought you were talking about the, like, the final coffee shop sequence.
The final coffee shop sequence and the one after it, like where he's just like telling off Trinity and he's getting his ass beat, like that one was all right. The coffee talk one was just like, yeah, he's here. I was like, he didn't get enough screen time by that point.
I really liked that sequence. I wasn't crazy about the effect they used for bullet time. Like it just, I mean, obviously with bullet time, everything's slow motion, but something about it just looked a little disorienting to me. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but either way, I didn't particularly like that visualization. I liked what he was saying and, you know, the explanations and shit. Like you're saying, this is the closest we're going to get to NPH as a comic book villain for now, aside from when he played Dr. Horrible and Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. But overall, I really liked the scene. I thought he was appropriately menacing, you know. I liked the way he set up the stakes, and I thought that, I mean, it's another example of Trinity feeling like a plot device and not an actual character, but it was still a pretty cool scene, I'll be honest.
And there's other details about this character that I really like, and other details about the movie, like there's a few glitches in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught them. The fact that Neil Patrick Harris's character, the analyst, he's wearing blue glasses, you know, just like the pills. I thought that sequence was great, by the way, where they played the music from the trailer.
Oh, the song White Rabbit.
And he's just going more and more, like, he's thinking he's going insane every single day that he's trying to be a part of this sequel. I thought that was very good as well. But just some of the details really are great in this movie. I really appreciated that because it makes whenever you go to watch it again, like, you're going to be looking out for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. It's weird because, yes, there's a lot of things in here that makes you want to watch it again. And then there are other things where it's like, I don't need to watch this again. It's like, all right, I got it. Like, I get the gist. And we're going to shut the door on this for a while. Like, I don't know that I'm in a rush to watch this again. I enjoyed it. Like, and by the time, like, I'll admit, when the movie ended, I had a big smile on my face. But it's like, I don't know that I want to sit through, you know, about an hour and a half, hour 45 worth of drudgery to get to, like, the few gems that I really enjoyed. Like, maybe I'll just wait for, you know, a YouTube compilation to come out with all the best bits and then just go about my day.
Is there anything else we didn't really talk about from this movie? I think we kind of covered a lot. I mean,
we talked about
the what did you think of the big finale? I know we kind of talked about Trinity being the one, but whenever Trinity and Neo come together and they had this epic battle, and I don't think it's really that epic.
It's not that epic.
This is kind of my problem with the swarm stuff. It came across. The thing is because they kind of act like zombies. Zombies are starting to get so played out that I think if you're doing that, you gotta crush it. Like, you gotta do something really cool. And I don't think this movie does that. Plus, it doesn't help that you get Trinity driving the motorcycle, and then you have Neo on the back just doing the force push. And it's like, wow, I'd rather just see Trinity do some cool stunts on the motorcycle or something to escape him.
That would
pretty disappointing. There was a few, like, a lot of these other captains, other than Bugs, I don't really care about. They don't spend any time on
them. Yeah, most of the humans, or most of the
robots were cool.
And again, interesting concept that is not explored enough. But yeah, most of the humans outside of Bugs and Jada Pinkett Smith. Outside of Bugs and Niobe, it's like, I do not care about anyone in the real world that's not Neo. Niobe and Bugs. And then when Trinity comes in, it's like, alright, now I'm here.
The robots were pretty cool as well. I know we just talked about that, but that's another concept you just said they didn't explore enough, and it's like, wow, they're working together. I did not think I would see this in a Matrix movie. And the movie just goes, oh, we're working together.
It's like, you didn't think you'd see it, and well, now you are, and that's all we're going to say about it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, well, anyways, let's move on here. But when it comes to this big final battle, it just felt like I was kind of done with it by then. And that's kind of sad. I think this is where I lose a lot of steam from the movie, because I didn't like the beginning with the video game stuff. And it's not because it's like, oh, it was a video game. It's just because there was a lot of, like, tongue-in-cheek meta humor that did not land with me. His friend in the video game industry or whatever... Mm-hmm. That was just...
He was really annoying.
The most obnoxious character I think I've seen in quite some time.
And I think he's supposed to be.
He is, but even to that point, it's just like, you're not even entertaining.
You're just kind of a douche. It's like, I'm not enjoying you on screen. Which, I will say, I didn't know that guy was still acting. He was on a bunch of stuff when we were younger. Like, he was on Hannah Montana a little while. He was an extra in the first Transformers movie. Let's put it this way. You ever watch the cartoon Total Drama Island?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, well, never mind then. Well, for any listeners out there, when I was younger, and I, like, you know, whenever that show was on the air, and I, in my head, I would fan cast who would play these characters in live action. He was who I wanted to play Owen. So any Total Drama fans out there, you know, you go back and look at this guy when he's young, and you'll see that I'm onto something. But yeah.
That felt like a deep cut.
Yeah, I tell you what. There's some Total Drama fans out there, you know, Total Drama Island, Total Drama Action, where we exist. But yeah, no, he sucked in this movie. Not the performance, like, he did his job, but, like,
no, just the character was annoying as shit. Like, but just with all that stuff, it took a while for me to get into it. Once we get to the train sequence and getting into, oh, it's been 60 years, what's happened? Oh crap, this cool little story about the Machine Civil War we're not going to get into it. That's when I started to really get into the movie, though. And then by the end of it, it was just like, okay, it's been about, holy crap, it's been almost 2.5 hours. Can we wrap this up, please?
Well, That's how I feel watching the movie. And then that's the worst part. The whole time I'm feeling like, all right, can we wrap this up? And then they get to the end and I like the end. I'm like, we couldn't have done that. Like everything from when they're on the skyscraper after, I'm like, you know what? This is working for me. Like when she kisses him and he's like, I'm not going back. And he's like, we won't have to. I'm like, hell yeah. Like if y'all are going to Thelma and Louise it, then Thelma and Louise it. Like, let's go. Like, this is great. And then they go up to the analyst's house and she starts kicking his jawbone off and he's just petting the cat. And I'm like, all right.
The analyst is being really over the top, insulting Trinity.
Yeah.
And you know, like, that's, you're just trying to get some hate towards a character because Neil Patrick Harris was pretty charismatic. But at the same time, it works.
It does.
Just because of the delivery of it. And it's just like, all right, go ahead and kick his jaw.
It's like, all right, yeah, kick him in the jaw, punch his chest, like, you know, 75 feet.
You got Neo just in the background holding Deja.
Both of them wearing their cool little black jackets, and they put on the sunglasses, and they fly off together.
I mean, the style.
Oh, my God.
That style really did not age well in 20 years later.
I mean,
I get Neo and Trinity, but everybody came into the coffee shop wearing it, and I was like,
okay, those are choices. Those are wardrobe choices, for sure.
That sticks out like a sore thumb. It kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me in 2000, to be honest with you, but still, that's
important. I'll say this. I think Bugs' wardrobe worked. I was like, okay, she looks cool. Like, everything she's doing, like, I'm here for it. Everything Morpheus was wearing looked cool. All the other, like, you know, shipmates or whatever coming to the Matrix, it looked fucking ridiculous. I'm like, why? Like, what are we doing? This isn't. I wouldn't want to feel like I was associating with them if I were Bugs and Morpheus. Based on
Yahya Abdul-Mateen played pretty much. What if Morpheus had no stress?
Oh man, he was like chill as fuck.
That's the way. Yes, and it was so great. I kind of thought it was going to be reverse. Because we believe by the end of the third movie, because they do, they die. So I'm like, oh, are they programs? Okay, so is this going to be like Morpheus is the main character of this movie and the other two are programs in the Matrix?
Yeah.
And that was very surprising that I was like, oh, I had it backwards. Wow, I was kind of close on that.
I agree. And which one thing before we wrap this up, I meant to bring this up when we were talking about the Morpheus character, but then we started talking about Carrie and Moss and Smith. So we agree that Jonathan Groff wasn't killing it at Smith, so it's like, all right, why even have Smith? But the way they incorporated Smith into the Morpheus character, where this Morpheus program was a hybrid of Morpheus and Smith, that was really cool, and it's like, all right, he could have just been the Smith then. Not that, you know, I'm not saying he should have replaced Groff, but like, he already fills that void.
That felt like a last minute decision.
Oh, what, like saying he's part Smith?
The video game partner.
Oh, gotcha.
But it felt like that character was going to be something entirely different. Maybe there's still some kind of like, oh, the mini-boss going up to the analyst kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I don't get the feeling that, oh, Jonathan Groff was playing Smith the whole time. That kind of felt like, oh, shit. Well, if we're going to do this nostalgia stuff, we might as well go all in.
Yeah.
I know you said Hugo Weaving had scheduling conflicts as well, but I don't know. It felt so shoehorned in there.
Yeah. I think Jonathan, I don't know, man. It's something about Jonathan Groff's performance made it feel shoehorned. Because it gives you the vibe of like, is this really, like, was this intentional? Like, is this what they're going for with it? And the way he kept calling him Tom, I don't like that. I don't like it. At the very least, Thomas. You know, like, I feel like, sure, this is a new Smith, but like, that's too casual. It's too casual for Agent Smith. It just didn't. It didn't hit for me.
I believe we talked about pretty much everything. I think. Did we miss anything before?
I mean, we talked about performances. We talked about the subpar action. Some of the special effects were booty. Some were decent. Like all the machine stuff looked good.
Beats were good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music was fine. You know, not bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, overall. Yeah, like this was a Matrix movie, for better or worse, you know, do with that what you will. So I guess that's everything we want to talk about. I guess it's time to move on to final rankings. So
yeah, let's move on to final rankings.
So Taylor, scale of 1 to 10, and you know, for all listeners out there, as you know, when we rate something 1 to 10, take it with a grain of salt. 10 just means absolute masterpiece. 1, absolute dog shit. If it's like a 5 or 6, it's just middle of the road. We're not saying it's the worst thing ever. We're not saying it's the best thing ever. It just exists. So, Taylor, where would you put The Matrix Resurrections?
I'd give it a 7.
Give it a 7.
I'm gonna be a little more positive on it. And I'll, before this conversation, I think I was gonna give it like a 6. I thought I was just gonna be like, hey, it's there. It's all right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I said at the beginning of this. I said it was a movie.
Yeah, you did. That is what you said. We've got it.
But
on record.
There's a lot of parts about this I really do enjoy, from Yahya Abdul-Mateen's performance as Morpheus, from Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss being back, even though I have issues with the characters in this movie. Some of the action stuff is really good. Some of it is, like you said, it's subpar, especially considering some other stuff in this.
And that's the thing. It's not that it's subpar just on principle or subpar in concept. It's a lot of cuts. Too many cuts. Not as much shaky cam as I feared with it being a modern action movie, but too many cuts. And that's the thing. This action is serviceable in a run-of-the-mill film. But in The Matrix, unacceptable. I cannot abide.
You got Jessica Henwick playing a new character.
It was great.
And Bugs was fantastic. You had Neil Patrick Harris playing the analyst. I thought he was great. I did not think he was going to have the bigger role in the movie.
I didn't either.
From the trailers, I thought he was just going to be the therapist.
Yeah, I thought we were done with him after Neo came to the real world.
Yeah. Seeing Jada Pickett's myth again as Niobe. It was kind of like you said. Like, I was like, oh, okay.
It's like, I liked her, and I liked everything she did. It was just her walking. I just couldn't. I couldn't take seriously.
7 out of 10. What about you, Tristan?
I've been thinking about this, and I've had a hard time nailing it down. No, look at that. My cat, she's chiming in as well. She had a lot of thoughts on The Matrix. It really, I guess, comes down to how I rate the other films in the franchise, you know, in conjunction with this. Because obviously, The Matrix, number one, on a 1 to 10 scale, that's an 11. Like, that movie, it changed the game. Like, quite literally, it changed cinema. And then you get to Matrix Reloaded, and it's pretty mid. So, if Matrix 1 is an 11, Matrix Reloaded, I'm giving it about a 6.5. Matrix Revolutions, that's a 6, if not a 5.5. It's mid to meh. But then you come in with Matrix Resurrections, and as a movie, I think it is probably worse to me than Matrix Reloaded, just on a structural sense. But I'll be damned if this nostalgia just really didn't hit me like a fucking freight train. So I think I gotta give this a 7 as well. And if, I tell you what, if it didn't bring back Carrie-Anne Moss, if it was just about bringing back Neo, I can promise you this would not be as high for me. Like, it probably would be down there with Revolutions. But seeing these two actors back together again and their chemistry and just how their characters have developed together, even though they've both been in stasis for 20 years in The Matrix, 60 years in the real world, like, within the story, like, they really did something to me. And I really enjoyed it. So I think I got to give this one a 7. But
another thing I did like, and we talk about the movie yada yadding a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of exposition.
I feel like they did go out of their way to explain why Neo and Trinity are alive, why Morpheus is the way he is. That kind of stuff. I thought they were going to be like, hey, don't pay attention to that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that the movie took the time and did explain it.
Yeah.
It is a little too long.
It's a little too long.
Stuff
but...
like the Smith stuff and. Well, the final showdown isn't as great, and I feel like that's what really drags it on for me.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about of, you know, thinking they're not going to explain it clearly enough, that's something that especially The Matrix is really guilty of. Like I said, it's a lot of exposition without explanation, where it's like, okay, you're telling me a lot of stuff. What does it mean? I mean, the scene with the architect in Matrix Reloaded is a peak example of that, where it's like, we are trying, like, sure, he's a machine, but we are trying to make him sound just so up his own ass and so intelligent that it's genuinely hard for the audience to follow what this man is saying, let alone the characters in the story. But the fact that we actually got some of these answers, like, oh, how did these two not age that much? Like, what's up with Morpheus? Like, yeah, that works in this movie's favor, which is part of why I am giving it a 7. So, looks like we're giving this movie a combined score of 14 out of 20. That's not a feature we normally do, but, you know, I thought I'd try something new. New year, new system. Or maybe not. I doubt we'll remember to do it in previous spoiler talks. But let's hit that old dusty trail. You know, we got stuff to do. We got better movies to watch. But before we do, we got some call to action stuff. You know, new year, same call to action stuff, I'll be honest with you. So, you can check out our Nerds? I'm confused on what we call our Discord. It's the Nerd Stash Network, right?
Yes, it is the Nerd Stash Network of podcasts.
That's what it is. I always get it mixed up with just wanting to say the Nerd Stash Show and the Nerd Talk. We got a lot of nerds.
It is.
We got a lot of nerds. A lot of
stuff going on with that.
A lot of stuff going on with it. That's why I can never keep the name straight. But anyway, we got a lot of nerd stuff, and we got a lot of nerds in the Discord. If you want to be one of the nerds in our Discord, we're going to be popping that link in the description of this episode, just like we do every week. Come on in. It's a lot of fun. It's great. You can plug your stuff. You can become a part of the Nerd Stash Network. It's fantastic.
By the way, I just want to point out, I know the Discord is not always as active, but you post something, somebody's going to
someone's going to make a comment.
We're going to try to get a little more lively.
Yeah. But speaking of getting, you know, a little more lively, we're also making a new Twitter account specifically for this podcast. That's right. We're getting a Nerds Talk Movies Twitter, all right? That should be up soon, maybe next week, hopefully. We'll see. I don't know. Life comes at you fast. We'll see what happens. Maybe Twitter, you know, explodes, you know, by the time this is recorded. Who's to say? So, I mean, hey, it's maybe the metaverse takes over. I don't know. We just watched a movie about, you know, machines and keeping us in a little bubble. So anything could happen. So we've recently learned that a lot of you guys like to listen to us via Apple Podcasts. So if you like what you heard for some reason, please consider subscribing or just leaving us a quality rating or review. It would help us out tremendously. And it would also help if they were favorable. Just saying, I've said many a time, I don't want to hear your negative comments. I won't listen to them. So they don't exist to me. So if you got something nice to say, say something. If you ain't got something nice to say, don't say anything at all. All right? Get out of here with that negativity. It's 2022.
I just want to point out that the words of this host, the words of Tristan Benz, do not reflect the feelings of this.
Nah, podcast. It's 2022. We ain't got time for toxicity, y'all. Like, we're over it. The world's coming to an end. Let's be nice to each other while it's happening.
It's also constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism, sure. You got something constructive to add, I'll listen. But if you're just like, oh, this guy is a bitch, well, yeah, I am. What about it? I don't need to hear it, all right?
I already know that.
You're not telling me anything revolutionary. So, finally, be sure to check out the nerdstash.com for all sorts of content in the world of gaming, movies, TV shows, and more. We got news articles, we got great reviews, we got interesting opinion pieces, and we got all sorts of content over there, so y'all gotta check it out, all right? Taylor, where can people find you?
You can find me on this podcast here. I cannot wait to talk about our next week's episode. We'll do that here in a second. You can sometimes find me over at the Nerd Stash Show, our gaming podcast. I'm not going to be on that show full-time anymore. It's just something to where Riley and Michael, I feel like they've done a phenomenal job.
Oh, they're crushing it.
Being hosts, and I feel like that they've improved a lot. Michael has previous experience as an editor before, and he's done podcasting stuff. Riley pretty much joined us fresh, like not being in the industry at all, not doing any podcasting. I believe she's done a freaking awesome job as well.
Oh, she's dynamite.
So they're going to take the reins and pretty much run the ship over there. I'm just going to work behind the scenes, do some show notes, do some editing. I'll appear on there every now and then when they need a week off, or maybe they want me to share my opinion on something.
I'll tell you what. When are they going to talk about Kingdom Hearts? Because that's an appearance I can make. Or when are they going to talk about Avengers? You know, they want to do an Avengers-centric episode. I'm one of the 7 people who still play Avengers.
I've already done that quite a few
really?
Times.
Really? Oh, shit. You didn't let me know? Damn.
I have a feeling we're going to have some differing opinions on that, because I am not a fan of...
I'm not saying it's a good game, but I'm saying I still play it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's we covered where we can find you, right? Anywhere else?
I was just going to say, we are changing the name of the Nerd Stash Show. You saw Tristan kind of mess up the what we're calling.
See?
That's kind of one of the reasons why.
Exactly.
And also because when we made the Nerd Stash Show, we were talking about video game news, movie news, TV news, all that stuff. And with this podcast and any other podcast we end up doing, we just thought it'd be best to come up with something more creative and not as confusing for us. So we hopefully will have a name by the end of the month for that. But that's about all I had to plug.
That's all you got to plug? What do I got to plug? You can find me on all the socials at BackIssueBens. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok, even if I haven't posted anything on TikTok yet. And you can find some of my work over at Screen Rant. I'm putting out, you know, I'll admit I went on a little bit of a holiday hiatus in terms of my writing, but I'm about to come back strong with some bangers. So you guys keep your eyes out for that. I get paid per view. So help a brother out. So thank you to Taylor for joining me. Thank you to anyone still listening, I'm sorry because you watched The Matrix Resurrections and it may have hurt your feelings, but at least you got to listen to our melodious voices and tremendous reactions. We will be back next week with a Clash of the Stash featuring myself and hopefully a special guest, an old friend of mine. Who I'm very excited about having on the show. Been meaning to have him on for a while. I had to wait for the right topic, and this seems like the right one. And we'll be having Taylor as the judge. Or we may not. We may get a different judge. I don't know. Taylor will be on the episode. Whether or not he's the only judge, we'll see. But what's our topic? Taylor, what's our topic? Do you know?
I do know. So there was a story about a week ago at the time of this recording that said that DC had some plans, and they were going to be changing up their Justice League lineup.
Oh boy, were they.
And the internet reacted to that as if, oh, well, that's the final nail in DCEU's coffin.
Yeah.
So, we are going to pretty much try to steal some of that limelight here.
Oh, we're going to.
Because
we're
we
soaking
have no
it up.
Dignity.
I have dignity. I hardly know her.
And we're going to pitch either a reboot or how that you will fix the DCEU. You got kind of Kevin Feige level reach here. You can do whatever you want, pretty much. Within reason.
I'm excited. I'm very excited for this. I've been working on it for a couple weeks now on my pitch, and I know for a fact if we have this guest on, he's going to bring the thunder. I'm going to have some competition on this one, so it's going to be a good episode, people. It's probably going to be a long one.
I'm so mad that I'm not a competitor on this one, because I would have some ideas too, but...
Here's the thing.
We can't be having our rematch.
We can't. Not on this.
I can't be a competitor on every episode.
No, you cannot.
That would be a bias.
And who knows? Maybe one day I won't compete, but come on. If we're talking about DC movies, I gotta compete. You know, this is my bread and butter. But until then, I think it's time for us to hit the old dusty trail. You know? We gotta get out of here. So, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see y'all next week. And never forget, I know Kung Fu.